Is it nuclear, like, missiles that we're worried about specifically, or are we worried about, like, I don't know.
There's a lot to worry about, because you gotta first you gotta survive the blast.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully you're not too close. And then you gotta survive the fallout. That, who knows how long that'll take. And then after the fallout, you, like, gotta get out of your hole in the ground or whatever, wherever you were. And then you gotta, like, battle these, like, gigantic mutant rats and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot to do.
I think from our perspective, there's not much that can be done to prevent it, so it's best to prepare. Boy Scout motto.
Yeah, always be prepared.
They will be met with fire and fury, the likes of which this world has never seen before.
And welcome to That's Not How I Do It, the podcast where we take a hard look at the world around us, find something we'd like to improve, and fix it. I'm Sam Chidley.
I'm James Miser.
And I'm Jared Sane.
And today, it's the end of the world, as we know it.
How do you feel?
I don't have the capacity to feel, because I'm dead.
It's the end of the world, and I feel about 60%.
And I feel about 60%.
It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel about 60%.
So we're talking about the nuclear holocaust. Some would call it the imminent nuclear holocaust.
Some would call it the end of days.
I would say the only thing that I would look forward to about it is being able to shout, "The end is nigh! The end is nigh!
The end is nigh!"
Yeah, that does seem fun.
I'm going to do a lot of crazed shouting in the nuclear apocalypse.
If the end actually was nigh, though, do you think people would just be, like, annoyed with you? Being like, yeah, we know. it's all over to the news. You don't need to, like, shout it.
It's pretty obvious because we're all living out of trash cans. And there's, like, mutants trying to eat us.
I don't know. It might happen. It seems it's a pretty scary thought, but there's a lot of ways that it could happen.
What is it? They have like that doomsday clock.
Right.
I think it's like really close,
but it's always like right at midnight. I feel like they overplay their hand. But if you have a doomsday clock, like it's no fun if it's not even close.
I think it's two milliseconds from midnight.
I have a question about the doomsday clock. Can they turn it back? Can they if we make like a significant achievement in like world peace and human progress, can you turn back time on the doomsday clock?
Yeah, but only on daylight savings in the fall. And then you can turn it back 1 hour.
What happens if you break the doomsday clock?
You have to take it to the doomsday repair service, clock repair service.
Yeah, and they're going to try to sell you a new one. Ugh.
Yeah, it's in the mall. Yeah, between our president and Kim Jong-un.
So you think, is that the most likely scenario? Is it's going to be like two crazy world leaders who just like lose control and set us all on fire? Is that how it's going to happen?
No, I think it's going to be a dumb mistake.
Just like an accident?
Yeah, someone's going to like trip, stub a toe, and hit the red button.
Ah! It's definitely going to be like a Homer Simpson type character who does it too.
Dope!
Yeah, he's going to say, go! And then it's all going to explode.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most human way for it to happen, I think. It's a stupid mistake.
It's amazing to me that the human race, being as, you know, clumsy as it is, that we haven't annihilated ourselves like that already. Let's assume that the nukes are coming. Like, something, some terrible international incident has occurred. Diplomacy has failed. The eagles have flown. They're in the air right now. So how does that play out? It is like the entire world just get like wiped out instantaneously, or is it like, does it get dragged out for a while? I don't really know.
I think it happens pretty quick.
Yeah.
Within 2 days, I would assume. I think it's mostly major population centers, mm-hmm. And any like strategic defense areas are hit.
So I don't, with the blast radius on a nuclear bomb, because like, what if it hits Manhattan? I'm in South Brooklyn.
All you need to do is watch the movie Bridge of Spies, and there's a point in the movie where Tom Hanks's son is drawing a circle around the blast radius of Manhattan, and their house is pretty much exactly where our neighborhood is. And guess what?
He's within the radius.
We're fucking dead, bro.
Oh man.
And nukes today are like a factor of 10 times more powerful, I think. So.
And the apartment building I live in like probably couldn't stand like a strong wind. So like
right. If you're inside of it, you'll just be crushed by the collapsing masonry.
Right, right.
So honestly, you have to prepare ahead of time, because if you only have a couple hours notice, like, everyone's going to try to leave and no one's going to make it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even still, we're talking about a nuclear holocaust. We're not talking about like one nuke.
Right. Nukes everywhere.
There's nukes everywhere. Every major population center has been hit. Every strategic location has also been hit. It's not something where, like, if you're in Brooklyn, you're going to be fine, or they're going to give you, like...
Right now, I'm just trying to figure out, is there a way I'm going to, like, escape the immediate danger?
No, dude, you're going to be fucking dead.
You're dead. So you got to do...
You got to prep beforehand. You're not going to be able to, like save yourself when the missile's already in the air.
Okay, what I'm hearing is it's too late. So let's go back. Let's go back in time.
Let's rewind our doomsday clock.
yeah, it's right, daylight savings daylight time, savings. So we went back an hour on the doomsday clock. It's just, at this point, it's just some irresponsible tweets. That's where we're at. Imagine that scenario if you can. And
what?
Knowing that in a few weeks' time, the birds will fly and radiation will be like raining down on all of us. Like, what do I need to be doing now?
You gotta go somewhere.
You gotta go somewhere.
Like, I need to get out of,
go to the heartland,
the cities, basically, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
And you gotta buy a lot of food.
You gotta be a doomsday prepper.
Food, shelter in a sparsely populated area, a lot of water, preferably off the grid, like something that powers itself. You gotta get some weapons.
When it comes to the doomsday prepping, and I get the impulse to move out of the cities, but if you're gonna like hole up somewhere with all of your food, where the missiles aren't going to hit you, and maybe where also you want to think about like other people, I would head out to sea. I would get a boat and head out into the.
you'd go out to sea.
I'd get a boat.
I'd get a boat.
Like,
that's the worst idea I ever heard.
Why? There's no missiles going to hit you in the middle of the ocean, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
Jared, where are you going to go?
Oh, I'm definitely going full doomsday prep and just finding probably go to Idaho. Somewhere where it's nice, you know, nice scenery.
Yeah.
Not too many people.
Yeah.
Pretty cheap. You know, you can grow potatoes in Idaho.
I think you might get some competition from other doomsday preppers in Idaho. I feel like Idaho is 90% doomsday preppers.
You know what I think? What I feel like, Sam? I feel like Idaho.
Oh, man. Oh. I know. I just lost the Idaho demographic of our listeners.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, and the other thing is, you know, if you're a nice person, like, you can be friends with the other doomsday preppers before it happens. And then when it does happen, you already have like a pre-negotiated pact where you'll form like the strongest roving mob.
Uh-huh. I mean, I think that's like good if you have the same values.
I think it's optimistic.
Yeah, but I agree with Sam. It's a little bit optimistic.
Yeah,
that's right. I'd probably be like the odd man, like literally like the odd man out.
Yeah.
Like, they'd be like, that guy's odd.
He's out. And
he's the odd man out.
Yeah. He will be the first one we eat. What about you, James? What are you doing to prepare?
I think I'm going to go to the Yukon Territories.
Ah, nice.
It's just like so, there's so few people there that I feel like that's like a good spot. It's beautiful. There's fishing. hunting. I could make myself a cabin. I don't know. It all seems like stuff that I would like to do already.
It is, and it's lovely up there. And also, it's like I think you're right. I think most people, their first instinct would not think of the Yukon first. I think you have a good bet there. It's pretty secluded.
Yeah, I'd find a nice lake. I'd be living like real old style. Just have like, you know, like chopping down some trees for firewood. I'd be like a mountain man.
Yeah. Yeah,
that sounds just kind of nice. Like, I don't even think you need nuclear holocaust.
Yeah, it seems. Yeah. Like,
nobody really needs nuclear holocaust when you get down to it. But,
but like when I think about living in the Yukon Territory as a mountain man, mm-hmm. it does seem kind of better than what I'm doing now.
Uh-huh.
And obviously, my wife would be with me.
And you'd have to get a dog.
We'd have a dog. We'd have like a nice library of books to read.
Yeah, you won, James. Like I'm really regretting my choice to head out to sea, because like at this point I'm like drinking my own urine and like kind of getting like a little like stir crazy, because I just have this like small square footage that I can walk around on every day.
Right. And also, like, you've never gotten over your seasickness, so you're just vomiting all the time.
Yeah, and I'm afraid of water. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. Like, I don't know what I was thinking.
You panicked. You panicked and you made a quick decision.
Oh, man.
You made a split-second decision.
Yeah, to buy a boat and furnish it with supplies.
But you're still
alive,
though.
I'm always so impulsive.
Yeah,
I'm still alive. Right, I'm still alive, and I can always sail back to the shore and like find some land. But I don't know what I'm sailing back to at this point. Presumably, like the worst has happened. The sum of all fears has occurred.
Right, the internet is down.
There's no more Netflix.
I think the internet would be down, wouldn't it?
The internet would be down.
Oh my god! And probably down, like, Julie Brown. Cell phones
for years. Probably
cell phones would be down. Yeah. Power would be out.
Like I'm hanging on to my life in Idaho, trying to avoid capture from the anti-gay preppers.
Uh-huh. Were they anti-gay? I thought it was just that you were so like.
I guess they're not really anti-gay. I was just a little. I like to project negative characteristics onto them because they're about to kill me.
I mean, it's Idaho. Like, it's very likely that they're, if not anti-gay, might just be straight up neo-Nazis.
Maybe.
Which are anti-gay.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a survivalist in Idaho, I'm just trying not to stereotype. There might be some very like open-minded survivalists in Idaho.
Yeah, you know, I should have started an art collective bunker.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. Well, you can still do it.
Instead, I threw my lot in with a. Can I change my mind? Yeah. I don't want to be with the neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
All right. Got an art collective bunker in Marfa, Texas.
I mean, Marfa's really cool. Definitely a desert.
Not the best location, yeah. I keep making bad choices. Yeah,
but, you know, like, you're not that far from Big Bend. There's the Rio Grande down there.
Okay.
So you could get fresh water. As far as safety from the bombs, you'd probably be okay. It might be worst would be if they hit one of the major cities in Texas and then the fallout radiation cloud
spread. Like a bad wind. Like if the wind pushed
it. You know, it's like, that's a risk you're just going to have to take. It's like, that's going to be pretty hard to avoid anywhere you go.
We'll have some protective gear that people have drawn murals on.
Oh, I like that. That's cool.
Oh. Yeah, so the hazmat suits don't look all like yellow and scary. They're just like,
they're like very,
there's birds on them.
They're cool.
Yeah.
Kind of like a personal
hipstery hazmat suits.
Right. Someone painted like a flannel shirt.
Yeah. Mustache.
Yeah.
My hazmat suit has a beard. I wonder, they've made all these nuclear bombs. Have they made any, like, nuclear sponges? You know, like, something that'll sponge up, like, the radiation? Somebody should get on that if they haven't.
I think we should do it.
Radiation sponge?
Yeah, like, why not?
I mean, because a problem we really do face today is getting rid of nuclear waste. Because they keep trying to bury it in Nevada.
Yeah.
But if there's a big sponge that we could slingshot the sun, because that's the best place to get rid of all your
throw
all
our
things.
Trash is into the sun. Yeah. Send it to the sun. Should we? I think we should have those sponges ready to go before.
Yeah, that sounds like
I'm going to give myself a sponge bath every day if there's a nuclear apocalypse.
Yeah, I mean,
You could make it like a steam bath in the ice.
Could I line my houseboat with these sponges so that like it catches all the fallout and I don't get exposed to it?
Sure. Why not?
You have like these. How are you gonna slingshot it to the sun? I think it's more of like a government-run program.
Yeah, that's more realistic.
They got I think sponges. if you're a survivalist, you're not relying on the government to clean up your radioactive waste.
But you're also already living somewhere that won't be hit by fallout.
I don't know. I'm like, so maybe I'm picture. I mean, if like the entire world is getting bombed by nukes, you know, if it's like that scenario where it's not just like one city or two cities gets destroyed, but it's like all of the nukes are fired. There's not going to be a whole lot of places that aren't affected.
All right, here's what the sponge would be useful for as an individual, I think, is filtering radiation out of things like water.
Uh-huh.
So not like collecting it before it contaminates something, but decontaminating.
Well, I think that the only real thing that we can do, guys, is hunker down in our bunkers. We got to hunker in our bunker.
So we just have to wait it out, you think?
We gotta wait it out, I think.
Okay, what are you guys gonna do? You know what? Can we all just be in the same place? That'd be a lot more fun for me. I want to be in the Yukon with James.
All right. I kind of have this art collective thing going. We have a lot of acoustic instruments, so we're sort of a big jam band at this point.
Gross. But you know, I don't want to be part of that.
Yeah. what I'm saying is, I need to escape.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's driving me crazy. So I'll hoof it up to the Yukon. It should only take me a few months.
I mean, like, I'll bring, like, I know you're hesitant, James, because, like, this, you had, like, a good thing going, but, like, you know, I'll bring some beer and, like, a deck of cards.
All right, Jared, how many people are you bringing in your jam band?
Oh, no, I'm trying to
He's not bringing
band.
They were so zoned in on their drum circle that, like, they didn't even notice.
They've been jamming on that REM song.
It's the end of the world as we know it.
So after 2 weeks of that, I was I'm ready to go.
All right. Well, okay. So here's the thing: is that I'm gonna have to ask Leslie if you guys can come to our place in
this would be a hard pass on her part
in Canada.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair. I you know, I don't want to impose. You know.
I do. James, I'm either coming peacefully or not peacefully.
I mean, yeah, it's like, the thing is, if you say no,
choice is yours.
I'm going to build, like, a really, like, eyesore of a cabin, like, right next to yours.
That blocks your view of the lake or whatever's up there.
That's my plan.
Just be passive aggressive. That's good.
Yeah, and you know what? I'm going to bring my houseboat, and I'm going to put it out on the lake, and then the...
And you're just going to drive around like...
Wait, you were out at sea on a houseboat?
Yeah, it's a houseboat.
You definitely died.
Yeah, it's a houseboat. Of course. I'm picturing like a Randy Quaid kind of scenario in Christmas Vacation. It's like that RV, but it's a boat.
All right, well, how about this? Like, unless Leslie has any serious objections, you guys can come to our lake in the Yukon Territories.
Yay!
What's the best renewable power up in the Yukon? Do you get enough for solar, or is it wind?
Solar's probably...
Like how are we gonna...
Solar's probably fine in summertime. In wintertime, it's gonna be probably not that. If we're close enough to a river, we could might have like a wheel, you know, that could generate electricity.
Okay. I think they make little mini hydro
wheels or whatever.
Generators.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not cheap or like easy, but if you planned ahead...
Well, I was gonna hook it up to my fish wheel anyway, because I'd have a
fish wheel,
yeah, salmon wheel, you know, where like,
does that just collect fish?
Yeah, it collects. It's super super cool because like the salmon are swimming upstream. Meanwhile, my wheel's like rotating in the stream, right? Yep. And each paddle of the wheel has a basket on it, and it just scoops up a fish, and then when it's at the top of the wheel, the fish slides out into a fish bin.
Ooh.
And then I got fish all the time.
That's great.
It's my fish wheel. It also, and I was just going to put like a generator onto like the spoke of it. So it's doing double duty.
like, are they going to be like fish with like six eyes and shit from all the radiation? Like,
it's a good point. I don't know. Maybe we need to have some animals with us then that we have in our bunkers. We
some
have like an animal
animals,
bunker.
Chickens. Some small animals.
Like a
chickens are always
like
good.
a barn bunker.
Mm-hmm.
Where we have chickens and maybe like cows? Or not cows, goats maybe?
Goats. Goats are kind of cool. They got personality.
Goats have personality. Yep. They're smaller. They're better for the environment. Yep. They got milk. Goat cheese is delicious.
I want to befriend a wolf.
That's going to be hard, but
start find a pup.
Actually, yeah. I mean,
wolf pup.
I think what we got to do is like there's got to be some wolves in the surrounding areas, and we'll start leaving our scraps out for them. And eventually domesticate all of them.
Or we run out of scraps and then they eat our goats and chickens and then us.
Yeah, it's possible. It could be, could backfire for sure.
I want everything that you guys are talking about right now, though. Like, I want to have my, like, homemade wool coat and I want to have my, like, wolf skin pelt underwear and also these wolves.
That sounds cozy.
These wolves that I've, you know, that like that are like my pack that I've domesticated and I'm like, you know, the alpha or whatever. Like I think like half of the not half the probably the most redeeming thing about surviving the nuclear holocaust is that you actually get to do some of this like post-apocalyptic, you know, goodies. You get the fun stuff of the apocalypse.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah.
The silver lining.
The silver lining. That's right.
Nuclear holocaust.
Yeah. You get to actually do that, and it's not like a weird thing. Like if I did like a wolfskin pelt underwear in Brooklyn, I mean, people would probably like give me shit about it. Like PETA would be up my ass if I did that. So I'm looking forward to that aspect of it.
Right. No PETA.
Okay.
No PETA.
So
no PETA.
We have our we have our place, and I feel like I just need to know what you guys are bringing to the table because we've mentioned a lot of stuff, and I feel like I'm doing a lot of the work.
I said I'm going to bring some beer and a deck of cards.
That's not enough.
I'm good at manual labor.
I got my houseboat.
I can dig holes for traps.
Okay, so Jared, you're going to be a trapper in this scenario?
Well, I'm just offering that up as an option. I could also just clear the snow, make a little walk path, you know, to the salmon area for you.
Yeah.
You know?
I could brew beer.
We are going to need like a way to
You're going to want some beer.
Okay. All right.
I think after food, alcohol is
okay.
Next up. And beer's better than moonshine.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I like beer. It's good especially calories wise, it's good. All right. I'm feeling better about our division of labor now.
Yeah. We'll make a chore wheel.
We will not make a chore wheel.
We're not making a fucking chore wheel.
We've lived together before. We've never Number one, we've never made a chore wheel when we lived together.
Know. It's
and number two, no one would follow
the
it.
The chore wheel is the great lie of between roommates. Like it's just like the idea that there could be one.
Anyways, this is why we have separate cabins.
Yeah, like we each do our own thing.
Where are we defecating and peeing? Do we have
wherever
rules about that?
We want.
No.
Leave no trace.
Jared, I believe you offered to dig holes, so
right.
Yeah,
you'll be constructing a porta potty for us, or not a porta potty, right.
Well,
but
find
a outhouse,
a hole.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I bet I could also figure out how to hook up some, essentially some bicycle pedals to the toilet, so you could pedal while you're pooping, and that will heat. That'll power a heating coil that heats the toilet seat.
I like it in theory. I'm thinking about it in practice. Like, if I could poop and pedal at the same time. I'm not sure that I could.
Maybe it could be a hand crank.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Hand crank's easier.
Yeah, but you got a lot more power on your legs.
It's true.
I'm just saying, the toilet seats could be cold. Like,
no, it's a good... I'm
trying to find a solution.
Really,
to,
I mean, not, a lot of people wouldn't have thought about that before thinking about a lot of other things that, you know, that probably need to be addressed. But, no, you're right. Like, cold toilet seats are very uncomfortable. It's a very unpleasant thing.
All right. I'll work on my toilet tech.
All right. Jared's on toilet tech.
We're going to need to figure out how to make planks then.
But, okay. You know, we're going to realize, I think, that we're like missing some important tools.
We need tools. We definitely need tools.
Yeah. So we're going to need to go on some raiding parties, I think.
Oh God, we haven't even talked about raiding parties. Now that's another part of the apocalypse I'm looking forward to. Yeah, if we need some tools, we can just go to like this like Home Depot that survived the blast, but you know, civilization's gone. So just go in there and just like take whatever we want.
Well, yeah, unless everyone's already got to it.
We haven't really talked about this, like how many other people have survived along with us.
There's also not a lot of Home Depots in the Yukon.
Yeah.
Well, if we had the foresight to think of all this stuff, we could stop at Home Depot on the way up there.
But we'll still forget something, or something will break. You know, I'm digging holes in like iced over dirt. Like, shovels.
Well, we need to be a little resourceful, right? Like there's some stuff that we're going to have to just make do with what we've got, or like, you know, create our own things.
I'd like to be able to continue to be a wasteful human.
Well, this shovel's busted, and there's just like this whole like pile of shovels.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could, if that was the state of the world, I think I would probably only use disposable dishes.
Sam always hated cleaning his dishes. Know,
just, like,
just throw some,
fuck it, you know, like
into this hole that I dug.
Yeah, that's where I put my dishes in one of Jared's holes.
You guys are trashing my like my area.
But there's no garbage service anymore.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, what are we doing with our waste?
Put it in a hole,
it in
like
a hole,
we already
doing
do.
Like a landfill.
Yeah,
I mean, as much of it as we can, we should like compost or burn for.
We should burn it for heat.
For heat.
Okay, I agree with that. I mean, if it's just like a few of us, like that's gonna be okay. Yeah. The sky has, you know, was like blotted out with like a nuclear, you know, cloud. So I think burning a little trash is okay. Anyway, like one thing we're talking about like finding other people, and that makes me kind of wonder like who else is out there. I don't know if everybody is just like building like cabins in the woods and stuff. Like, what's the rest of the world up to at this point, and what's it going to look like when we run into them?
I know a whole collective that's singing REM song.
Right, right. They're still doing that. They're still singing the REM song.
Yeah,
if they believe. We put a man on the moon.
Man on the moon.
Yeah. They've moved on to another REM song.
Yeah. Someone just spontaneously switched like 8 weeks into world.
Stand in the place where you are.
Oh, no. Oh, no. If they started playing that, someone will crack and start murdering everybody.
Yeah, so that's what I want to talk about. So we'll have our small community on the lake, but we need to figure out our approach to outsiders. Like, do we want to totally conceal ourselves from the outside world? Do we want to welcome just anybody in? Do we want to have like scouts like looking for other people? What are we gonna do? We need to restart civilization, but there's probably a bunch of power hungry warlords that are gonna rise up.
Yeah, so I am worried about the power hungry warlords. I think that's just built into human nature that some people are gonna take this opportunity to behave that way.
I mean, on top of that, like there's so many power hungry warlords in post-apocalyptic movies and fiction that's like pretty much the first thing anybody's gonna think of, you know.
Right.
There's like oh, it's a post-apocalypse. Now I can be a warlord.
Right. Or it's like, if I don't get in with one of these like roving gangs, like I'm either going to be in one or I'm going to be a victim of one. So
yeah.
Sign me up for some cannibalism or whatever.
I guess that's the other thing, is we could ourselves become a roving gang.
I don't want to. I liked our little like utopian like thing that we had going on. And I want to defend it.
Yeah.
So here's my initial reaction when you asked, like, well, what should we be doing? I first of all, I think that our little commune we need to set up a perimeter.
Ooh.
And it doesn't necessarily need to be like booby traps, because maybe like I don't want to like kill anybody who gets close, but like we need to be aware when somebody's like in the vicinity.
Yeah, I think perimeter is like an obvious initial reaction, but I think it's wrong, because you don't want to draw any type of attention to your area, because if there's something, if there's like a perimeter, a warlord is going to be like, oh, there's something worth defending. I think we want a decoy location that we draw people to.
Uh-huh.
So like a fake perimeter, and we have some sort of surveillance capabilities.
Ooh,
we set up.
I like that. I like it because it's sneaky. I think what it is, what it can look like is like a really, it's like a cabin on top of a hill that's like very visible, that always has like a fire going in it, something like that. So you can see like this, like a smoke stat Smoke. Coming out. And then also there is like a cassette player that's playing episodes of our podcast.
That's good.
And then and then there's like if somebody goes into the cabin, then like the door locks behind them and they are listening to our podcast, and then there's iTunes review.
Jeez.
Stationary, and that can be their application to
leave a handwritten review.
Yeah, they can leave a handwritten review, and if it's something that we like the sound of, then maybe we could let them into our community.
Okay, so it's a vetting process through a decoy cabin.
Yeah, and then if not, then we have to kill them.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, if we don't like it, like they, you know we're there, so.
Yeah, we got to kill him.
Well, this is why we domesticated a pack of wolves.
Oh, so we like
make it look natural.
Because we want to make it very unappealing for anyone to like stick around.
Uh-huh.
But maybe we want to make it look like the people left for a reason.
Okay.
So that if anyone finds it, they're like, "Oh man, like I don't know what happened here, but it seems like it's not a good place."
Mm-hmm. But I also feel compelled to write a review of this podcast.
but this podcast is pretty good, so I'll stick around for a couple episodes.
Where are we gonna name our community?
Snot Boys,
Snot Town,
the Woods,
Snot Town.
Snot Town.
It's not very inviting. Like, I think we should have a nice name.
Yeah.
Okay. Lakefront.
Snotburg.
Lakeville.
Snotburg.
It's called Snotburg.
Well, you're the one that founded it,
James. I think you've got a little bit of a claim.
You have ultimate naming rights.
Yeah, I'm calling it Snotburg.
Snotburg. There's going to be a statue of you with like a plaque that's like the original settler of Snotburg.
Yeah, it's going to be like
a booger hanging from your nose.
No, it's not going to be a booger hanging from my nose. It's going to be a statue of me mid nose blowing.
Oh man.
So like the tissue is like fully like inflated by my snot.
Okay. I will work on my sculpturing skills to create that for you.
Right. Cool. I like that. So Sam, you are scouting and brewing beer.
Yep.
Jared is
digging holes.
digging holes and sculpting.
And making a foot cranked heating seat for the toilet.
Okay, I mean.
Also, I brought cards.
Maybe put that lower on your priorities, Jared. Yeah. You also said you were trapping, right? You're making traps.
Well, things have fallen into the holes.
Yeah, I mean, we discussed the idea of traps. I guess it would make sense to have traps, like at least for animals. Trap. Yeah.
And then I've got my fishing, smoking, canning section going on.
Oh, yep. I'm also fishing on the lake because I have my houseboat.
I don't think you should have your houseboat.
Well, that's...
How do you get a houseboat from the ocean to a lake?
Yeah, that's going to be so much fucking work.
Yeah, I guess I didn't really figure out how I would do it, but I can't just leave my houseboat. It was like...
Yeah, you can.
All right. You know, we'll train
abandon
our,
like
our
the
wolves.
Rest of your life.
No. I like my houseboat.
We'll get a sled, a wolf-powered sled. Put the houseboat on skis.
I'm not helping with this.
I didn't ask you. You know, I didn't ask you guys to help. I just like this is how I showed up. Somehow, I showed up on my houseboat.
I also feel like, what if your like houseboat leaks a bunch of chemicals into our water supply?
Why would it? Yeah. Why would my houseboat leak a bunch of chemicals?
Because you're probably not taking good care of it.
You're ignoring the chore wheel.
I am offended at the implication. My houseboat, like it's like. I don't know. Like, that's not fair to, like, make me give up my houseboat. You don't own the lake.
James, I know I don't run Snotburg, but I would suggest having, a permitting process for any floating craft.
Oh, man. Are you guys going to have, like, a homeowners association in Snotburg? this, like, houseboat is really tacky, and so, like, it, like, can't be here.
Yeah. Sam, you can have your houseboat, but it can't be in the lake.
Okay, so a houseboat just like on land next to the lake?
Yeah.
All right, you're right. That's not so tacky.
Well, that's a peaceful resolution. Like, how are you gonna pull the houseboat back up to the land?
You guys are getting hung up on this, like, how did the houseboat get there? And I just like I'm not that worried.
You think
about
we're
that.
Like on the side of a freeway? We're not. We're like way in the middle of the wilderness.
Uh huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty unlikely that you got a houseboat.
Well, okay.
There.
Okay, you know what, Sam? If you can get your houseboat to our lake, you can do whatever the fuck you want with it.
Oh, well, thank you. That's kind of where I started with this, actually. Anyway, what were we talking about before we got into a fight about the houseboat?
Does it even matter anymore?
Like, I think, God, I feel like we are, like, right back, like, society is, like, right back where it was before the nuclear holocaust, where we're, like, fighting over petty things like, you know, residential zoning.
Mission accomplished, then. Society is back, baby.
It's part of rebuilding society is, like, arguing about, like, your neighbor's, like, tacky residence.
It's good. It's nice to know that doesn't take long for civilization to reassert
itself.
Yeah,
can bounce back.
We got a toilet, we got some food, and now we're back to day-to-day issues. Sam's life choices.
Sam's stupid fucking houseboat. It was like so nice just like having our three cabins, but
yeah,
it had to ruin them.
It's like this idyllic setting, and then Sam just has to drop a houseboat
stupid goddamn houseboat.
It's okay, James. I'll take care of it. I'll take it out and hatch it a hole in the bottom of it, and it'll sink.
Wow, you would do that? You would sink my houseboat?
Yeah, we'd sink your houseboat. You get over it.
I mean, I'd probably salvage some of the useful pieces of wood from it before I sank it.
Sink my houseboat just because like you don't like it? That's fucked up.
Isn't that a good reason?
Yeah, that's a great reason to sink your houseboat.
There's like a handful of people left in the world. I'm like one of your best friends. I somehow survived the nuclear holocaust with you, and we like started this new community. And like, just because you don't like it, you're gonna like sink my home?
Yeah, friends don't let friends have houseboats.
Man,
I mean, if it was up to me, I would have sunk it before you even.
Why? That's how I escaped the nuclear holocaust, man. That's like how I survived the blast.
It was a bad idea. You should have just come with me to begin with.
Well, yeah, you're right about that. It was like it was a pretty terrible month at sea.
Right, taking a houseboat to sea. It does provide you with the most interesting journey to the Yukon, I think. Divisions run deep in Snotburg.
Yeah.
That's right. Which brings me to our government. How do we want to construct our new society?
Hold that thought. I'm gonna grab another drink.
Can't believe Sam thought he could get into the middle of the Yukon territories with a fucking houseboat.
Yeah, I'm not sure what world he's living in.
Part of me just like hates the idea of just like waking up every morning and seeing a fucking houseboat on the lake.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's not a nice houseboat.
No.
If there even is a nice houseboat. It's like this thing that he never really even uses.
It's going to be a total eyesore. You know? He's not going to take care of it.
No. He's not even going to go out on it.
He's not going to go out on it. He's going to sit there.
He's like, oh, I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it. But he'll never use it.
And it's going to get all rusted out. It's going to be like a hazard. Like our little...
Rot too, the parts that would.
Our little post-apocalypse kids are going to be like exploring it and like cutting their, you know, like stepping on like a rusty nail or something like that.
We don't have tetanus shots. We don't have to want to go on a pharmacy raid.
Oh my God.
Because of his houseboat.
All right. When Sam comes back, we just have to tell him that he's not allowed to have it.
Or we can just burn it while he's gone.
Okay.
All right.
Here's the matches. You got the
fuel?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, he still had a little gas left on the...
Oh, yeah.
He really did stock it pretty well.
He stocked it really well.
All right, little gas.
Little gas. Matches.
Count of three.
Three, two, one. Burning your houseboat down.
What have you guys been up to while I was gone?
We burned your houseboat down.
Yeah.
I was only gone for like a minute. I just got like a beer and then came right back and...
Yeah, your houseboat's on fire.
Man.
You shouldn't have left that last little bit of gas on it.
Yeah, you stocked it too well with gas.
You know, we probably could have used that gas for something also, guys. Like,
it was worth it.
Like, yeah. This is... Really, just really petty of you both.
You know, I do have to say, when the nuclear apocalypse, when we started talking about it, I did not think the most contentious issue would be a houseboat.
The fucking
like, that
houseboat.
Was not anywhere in the, not even the back of my mind. I was like, how's a houseboat going to be the most divisive thing about the apocalypse?
Yeah, some strong feelings about the houseboat.
All right, well, now that we've resolved that issue, we need to figure out how to resolve all issues by creating a government.
A justice system.
Yeah, a new society.
What about, I know we weren't big on chore wheels, but what about a justice wheel?
Wait, how's that work?
Explain the justice wheel, yeah.
It's like the Wheel of Fortune, but it's the Wheel of Justice.
Punished?
No. It's just a bunch of punishments on a wheel that you spin.
Okay. Oh, so like a game show.
So if I'm like guilty of arson, then I have to spin the punishment wheel, and it could be everything from like being pepper sprayed to I don't know, beheading.
Yeah, or we could be a little practical.
I don't really want to do
and actually
executions.
We could turn the justice wheel. Yeah, we could turn the justice wheel into something a little more practical, like a chore wheel.
No, but people just have to do that stuff.
The punishment for burning my houseboat down should not be cleaning the toilet, for instance.
Well, my point is that everybody should be cleaning the toilet anyway. So, like,
okay. Right. That's fair.
It shouldn't be like somebody needs. So, because if like nobody gets punished, then nobody does their chores.
Right. That doesn't work.
Yeah.
So, how should we punish Sam for bringing a houseboat?
Yeah. So, as stupid as that question sounds to me, it's a valid point to bring up is that like we're designing a new system of justice. Like we have an opportunity to re-examine like which laws we want to keep or throw away.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
your like an initial impulse was like, all right, we've like set up this like community, now we need to have a government. I mean, like, it, I don't know, like it depends who we are, like who's there.
Knock knock.
Who's there? There,
the government.
Oh, no. Shouldn't have answered the door. Do you have more for that? Do you want me to keep...
No.
Not government. No,
that was it.
So. All right. You know, like, if it's just, like, a handful of friends or something, like, if it was just, like, people we knew from our life, like, we'd probably be okay without a government. If we're actually, like, trying to repopulate the Earth and stuff, then, yeah, like, we probably need to have some kind of system.
Yeah, well, I mean...
But if we're going to build that, like, we get to decide what... it's going to look like. So your question about like, should we punish me for bringing a houseboat? And I'm thinking like, we should punish James for burning my houseboat down. Like, how do we set that system up?
I don't even know who to punish.
How do we get to decide like what the law is if we're starting from zero?
Yep. The Wheel of Justice.
A fucking wheel? That's it? Chance?
I mean... What the thing that I like about the Wheel of Justice is the randomness of it. I feel like that really reflects the randomness of the human condition.
Yeah, and it's good incentive to do to try to stay peaceful because you don't know what the severity of your justice will be.
I guess, but you could make a counter argument to that. That's like, well, maybe you'll get off really light.
Yeah, it's totally possible. That happens every day, all day.
Yeah, but is that something that you want to keep? That like that you know people aren't necessarily going to be held accountable for their crimes? Like, that doesn't sound right.
I mean, I don't even know if it's possible to not have it that way. If you get,
I think you can do better than a wheel that ensures it will be that way. Is what I'm saying. Like, what you're saying is like the thing that you want to like enshrine in tradition is the like randomness of it, and I think that we should aspire to more than that.
That's very noble.
Says the guy on a houseboat.
You don't have a houseboat anymore, weird.
Says the guy standing next to the ashes of his houseboat.
Speaking of sounding noble, I'm thinking about instating myself as the warlord of Snotberg.
I fucking knew it. I fucking knew it. Like, as soon as James brought up this whole, like what should we do for government thing, I was like, it is a matter of time before we fall into another tyrannical system.
He's going to start taxing us.
I won't tax you guys.
Okay, I'm in.
You're my.
You know, a moment ago,
you're my snot
when
boys.
When we did a knock knock, who's there? You answered the government.
That's right.
You are already showing up at my door, presumably for taxes.
I mean, I don't ask for,
you know, a benevolent monarchy isn't the worst government.
All I ask is that everybody be a productive member of Snotberg.
I'm just worried, as like one of the least popular residents of Snotberg, that that like you getting to decide what productive member means, it's not going to be good for me.
Why? What do you have to worry about?
I have to worry that, like, let's say that I want to build a new houseboat, you know, and like, because that disagrees with your sensibilities, like, you can just decide to make that a crime.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have to clear it with the housing board.
I don't know. I'm just worried that, like, we've, like, destroyed civilization and, like, we're making all the same mistakes all over again.
Well, what can we do? We're human.
What if we try to... Exactly. What if we did a radical thing and developed a government AI to rule us?
Like, we let the machines take over?
Well, just let them... Like, that it's, like, the dispute resolver.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Yeah. So it takes our judgment out of it. Yep. How does it decide? Like, what's the criteria by which the AI will determine justice?
So what AI, like, it learns from data sets in general, but some AI is self-training and doesn't even need a data set to start with and just kind of figures out what's fair. Like, one of the recent Go AIs taught itself how to win without any input, just by playing against itself hundreds of millions of times. So an AI could theoretically figure out the most fair solution by running through just millions and millions of scenarios.
Right, but, like, it's difficult with morality because you have to... It's not the same thing as, like, a game of Go where there's a way that you win, right? Like, don't you at some point have to tell the AI, like, what the desirable end goal is? You have to, like, it has to understand what justice is to be able to, like, you know, come up with some kind of solution.
It has to understand, like how upset or pleased every party will be to any of its possible options. It'll model that. It'll sort of estimate, like, okay, if we burn Sam's houseboat, if James and I aren't punished at all, James and I will be very happy and Sam will be very unhappy. All right, so that's like a 2 out of 3. Not great, but not terrible. And then it would probably go through, you know, all kinds of options that we wouldn't even want to talk about. Like, what if you killed us and cannibalized our bodies? It'd do that, you know, really quickly and propose a best solution.
I have a problem with it because, like, okay, so let's say Sam keeps building houseboats and I keep burning them down.
Yeah.
So Sam keeps flagrantly breaking the rules by building these houseboats. Meanwhile, I'm, like, semi-punished because Sam keeps building houseboats.
It would have to assess the situation differently and place a different weight of importance to your happiness over Sam's. Because it would recognize that Sam was being a little ass.
Will the AI definitively call Sam a little ass?
Like, just your example illustrates my problem with it, which is that I guess that it's like almost like a utilitarian viewpoint that you're painting, where it's like the greatest good for the greatest number or something, doesn't protect me as a resident.
Because you're hurting the community.
You're breaking the rules.
Like, so
you're committing
laws
a crime
also,
every time that you, like, build a house.
Like,
boat.
A law, like, laws are not, I don't know. I don't think that's, like, the way that I think of the law, right? Is that it's always the greatest good for the greatest number of people. I think there's sometimes laws operate categorically so that, like, you can't end up with a scenario where, like, an entire community decides that one person needs to die, for example, you know, no matter what the cause of that is, it could still be called illegal. And so there's, like, a law in place to make sure that that doesn't happen, or if it does happen, that there's like a legal recourse. And so it sounds like if you left this up to AI, like, it wouldn't do that. Maybe. I'm not sure like how
it would consider those possibilities, but I would hope that it would realize that that's not the most just solution. But maybe there is a situation where that's what the AI decides. The tricky thing with the AI is at the end of the day, it's powerless. Like, it can't enforce anything.
I am a little afraid that if we have come to trust it with most of our decisions, that it's weird to, like, trust it with, like, almost all of our decisions. You know, like, if we're just going to, like, throw away its decision whenever we're uncomfortable with it, then it's almost useless, because then James can just say, like, oh, well, the AI determined that I was in the wrong, but I'm not going to listen to it this time. You know,
let's throw in a jury of our peers that has to agree or disagree with the AI. This is assuming that our society grows between the three of us and plus Leslie.
Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be pretty complicated to govern just the, like, four of us.
Well, it's going to be the four of us plus the friends of the podcast if they want to come.
So the jury will be everyone except for the parties in dispute, and then the jury votes on the AI's solution, and it needs, let's say, 70% agreement.
I'm fine with, yeah, let's do it.
I'm oddly comfortable with that. I don't, there. Maybe there's like holes in it, but I can't see any immediately.
Yeah.
I think
you get the cold, rational, because, like, machine thinking.
Yeah, but we haven't like really given up our own moral decision-making in that case. Yeah. Like, it's still ultimately our call.
And then, so like, if the AI is like, Sam needs to be tortured to death, because that's what would be best for society, then like the jury could say, like, maybe just torture him a little bit. That is the last thing we need to talk about. All of the radiated mutants.
Yeah, like, what kind of mutants are we talking about? Like, what's been mutated and how?
Bears, elks.
Just like any, like, wildlife that was there before is now like a...
It's now like a half-bear, half-man
it's like
mutant.
It's just like a monstrous mutant.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do about that. Like, that's tough.
Well, we got to build some pretty beefy weaponry. Probably a lot of wooden spears. What happens if we kill one of these mutant beasts? And then as we're, you know, gutting it, we find out that there's a little mini nuclear bomb inside of it.
Oh, no.
Wait, why would there be a nuclear bomb inside of it?
Because that's how it turned into a mutant. It ate a bomb.
It like ate one?
Yeah.
Before it exploded, so it was just, it like was an undetonated mini bomb that it swallowed, and then it got turned into a mutant.
So here's the thing. If we discovered that there were still nuclear bombs, like if we found this nuclear bomb in the wild now, we've like cut open this mutant and there's a nuclear bomb inside of it. I'm asking myself right away, are there others? Like, do the roving gangs have access to these nuclear bombs? Do we need to figure out how to make nuclear bombs and defend ourselves from the possibility of other nuclear bombs?
Oh, no.
No. We have to be true to our... We have to learn from our mistakes.
Yeah, we have to be better than we were.
But I suppose if the AI says that we should, then we should at least get put to a vote.
So we'll let the computer decide?
Yeah.
It'll present the best option.
Okay.
And then we decide.
And then we decide.
What's a good name for this computer?
I mean, Oracle.
Oracle.
Makes sense. But we could try to do something a little less obvious.
Yeah. Sky something. Sky. It's just something like, it's like something in the air and then something that catches something else.
Sky basket.
Sky basket.
Sky Tupperware. Skyware.
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 Sky web. Skynet.
That's kind of catchy.
Skynet.
Skynet.
Now, Skynet. That sounds stupid. Who would name anything Skynet?
I don't know. I just think it's like
Sky Basket. I like Sky Basket.
All right, we'll call it Sky Basket, and it'll be in charge of whether or not we'll just give that all the nuclear launch codes, and you know, we'll let that decide whether or not we want to do this whole nuke thing again.
Okay, yeah, I feel good about that. I think that we
yeah, what could go wrong?
Yeah, it seems like a pretty good plan. We're gonna put all our eggs in one Sky Basket.
Yeah. It's gonna be a real bummer that most of our friends and family have died in this nuclear holocaust, but I feel like we're gonna start over and it's gonna be pretty good.
Yeah, I think things are looking up.
Yeah,
I'm oddly looking forward to it.
It's the end of the world and I feel fine.
I'm feeling more like 80% now.
Yeah. I was feeling fine until Sam invoked
until I reminded you
of the bad days with the art collective in Marfa, Texas that I thought was going to be a good idea.
Uh-huh.
I wonder what REM song they're on to now.
It's the end of this podcast as we know it.
And I feel 80%.
I think we got it, guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that does it for this week. Nuclear holocaust not averted, but improved. If anyone listening out there wants to turn in an application for residency in Snotburg, go ahead and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, along with a list of your qualifications for why we might want to allow you into our society that's ruled by Sky Basket. And if you have some questions before you turn in an application, go ahead and tweet at us at @ThatSnotPod.
We're happy to answer any questions that you may have about, you know, what it's like to live in Snotburg.
No houseboats.
And this week, we'd like to give a special thanks to REM.
Thank you for, you know, letting us know that it was okay to feel fine.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. Life is